Card presents Back Issue Bloodbath with your hosts, Andrew Young and Petula Neal.
This isn't about me. Or maybe it is, honestly. The me and my memories from when I was young.
Welcome to Back Issue Bloodbath. I'm Andrew Young, and this week we're featuring an interview that I recorded at the Toronto Comic Con on March 17th, 2024, with Michelle Abinader, the editor of the Backer Kit crowdfunding project for the comic anthology When I Was Young. It's an LGBTQIA plus charity comic anthology where the profits are going to the Trevor Project, which you'll hear about more in the interview. And it has a slew of amazing creators: Sam Maggs, Heather Antos, Christopher Cantwell, Kai Zama, Stephanie Williams, Ryan Oakley. It is a wall-to-wall list of superstars here telling personal stories. And the idea of the anthology is stories, what you would tell your younger self now to help you get through tough times as a child. It's a great project, and I got to talk with editor Michelle Abinader about the project in great detail. And I want to share that interview with you today. Take a listen. All right, so I'm here with Michelle Abinader. We're talking about the When I Was Young crowdfunding campaign, finishing up on March 31st. Welcome. It's great to talk with you, Michelle.
Hi, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. I know it's been busy here running around Toronto Comic Con, so I appreciate it very much.
Well, I appreciate that you're taking the time to talk with me today. Of course, When I Was Young is your latest anthology, an LGBTQIA plus anthology that's coming out soon. And you're no stranger to anthologies. You've edited quite a few now. What is it about the anthology format that you gravitate towards?
I mean, it is a little masochistic, to be honest. There's nothing simple about anthologies because of the team management aspect. And obviously you're working with a giant group of people and you have to keep everybody on schedule. And I guess the thing that I like about it is that you get to have all of the different storytellers involved and a lot of different art styles. And you can kind of also have people working in tandem, right? So you can be putting together a book that's, you know, 100 to 150 pages and everybody's working on their pages at the same time. So theoretically, if everyone is on schedule, you can move that along a lot faster than, say, like a 150-page OGN with like one artist who's trying to crank out all of those pages by themselves. So anthology format is nice because you get different stories, different storytellers, different styles, a bunch of different voices. And especially for a project like this, for When I Was Young, having those different voices is super important because with this book, the theme being what kind of story would you tell your younger self to sort of motivate you to get through a hard time, like having everyone's personal voice injected into their stories, many of which are autobiographical in this, it sort of allows for something that everyone, I think, can connect to.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And the profits from this project are going to the Trevor Project. Now, it's a great charity that I found out, I think, about a year and a half ago. Really like what they're doing. For people who don't know about it, tell them what it's all about.
The main mission of the Trevor Project is to end suicide amongst LGBT youth. A lot of what they do is resources for families, raising awareness, helping people like settle into situations. Obviously, like with youth, it's always a bit shaky. You never know who you're coming out to when you choose to come out to your family. Even some families that are like the most liberal do have some difficulty with, you know, accepting their kids in a life that they hadn't dreamt up for their children. And I think having resources for families and help for youth, having someone that they can reach out to and just sort of providing that support is super important. And obviously with the vision of this book, they were an obvious choice for someone to donate those profits to. And I mean, hopefully when we hit our goal, there is like a built-in donation already in the original goal. So we will be having like minimum, there will be a donation because I love hurting myself. I thought that it would be a really good idea to make the goal higher than it needed to be just to make sure that when we met our goal, I had budgeted in already a donation. So creative costs, I'm paying a page rate because I fully believe that, you know, when you hire people to make a comic, you need to be paying them something for their art, for their stories, their creativity, their work. It's hard work, especially when you're digging so deep and telling something so personal. It's important to me to make sure that those creators still feel supported financially, because I think the biggest issues in society right now is, you know, economic standings. And especially in comics, it's not simple to, like, make money enough to pay your bills. So part of, like, what I can do to contribute to helping people in comics have a bit of a better existence is making sure that I pay them to do this thing. So paying the people to make it, paying to have it printed, and making a donation, that's what the goal encapsulates. So we're chugging along, and I'm feeling pretty good about it, honestly.
Yeah, no, I feel like you guys are making great strides. I definitely think you're going to make your goal. Again, you got so many great creators on this, and you've talked before about, like, in this very interview about how you're a masochist and how you hurt yourself. Uh-huh. You got all these people together for this. Again, the campaign itself is a job, raising the money. And then after this, you have so many creators that you're going to have to wrangle and get their stuff on time. There has to be a deep innate love to put that much work into it, for you to put that much on yourself.
I really do love it. I love putting out a great collection of stories. I love being able to contribute to comics that are coming out. And I love being able to include, like, new voices and stories that I think people will connect to. That's really the important thing. And as an editor, I always talk about, you know, putting a really good collection together so people can connect to it. But it's also, like, for myself, I want to continue to, like, push my own envelope forward, right? I want to continue to get better at what I'm doing and put out better books. And I always joke that, like, every project that I make has to be gayer than the one before. It's sort of like my little joke that I have with myself and my friends. And the reason for this one was really that I wanted to put out something that sort of gave back to a community that has given so much to me, whether it be comics community in general or the LGBT community, like, to my friends, also to myself. Like, I think a lot about what I would have needed, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I was, like, a real little kid and going through a lot of struggles and figuring out who I was. Like, what would have helped me? What would I have said to myself? What types of stories, what voices would have helped me? And that's sort of how I built this. So I guess it is a little self-indulgent, but, like, aren't we all a little? I mean, it's comics. You have to be a little self-indulgent sometimes, but I mean, the point of it is, like, I try to think of myself and what I would have needed. And I always track it back to that, like, that quote that's like, be the person you needed when you were younger. And that's, I think, how a lot of us try to sort of live our lives when we think about, you know, what we lacked in a role model, what we lacked in an adult that we could trust when we were, you know, a minor and didn't know what was going on, didn't know who we could reach out to, who was safe to reach out to, who was going to, you know, talk to our parents and tell them things that our parents wouldn't like about us. You know, like, so you never know, you know, who you can trust. And some of us had, you know, our teachers, our counselors in school, like older cousins, aunts and uncles. Like, there are a lot of people out there to help, but I think it's those different voices from inside the community that will really help,
right?
You know, a younger person that might pick this up. And it is, I am doing what I can to keep it as, like, teen plus appropriate on a content scale and language. So it's something that's definitely appropriate, I would say, for, like, 13 and up. But yeah, sorry, that answer was all over the map.
I'm really passionate
about this project.
That is good. You are so passionate about this project. And of course, you also, aside from just editing it, you also have a story in the anthology.
I do.
Yeah, Beautiful Things. Reading the description for it, walking alone on a cold autumn day, a young woman longs for more as she searches her mind and in the ground for new motivation to carry on. And it's funny, reading your bio, you said that you spend a lot of time as a young person walking around.
I joke that I love to go for a little stroll. I mean, like, you know, it's sort of a bit of a joke when you tell someone that you're sad or you're feeling depressed and they're like, have you tried exercise? Have you tried going outside? And, like, does it help? No, probably not. But, like, I mean, I'm from upstate New York, so I'm from the Northeast U.S. And it gets kind of, you know, that crisp fall air. Love a little, like, a little stroll through, like, a creepy little forest. take it for what it is, you know, like we love the autumn weather. My story is it's kind of more on the metaphorical side.
Okay.
Like there's not really like a super hard narrative, but
right.
It's more of like trying to think of how to say this without completely spoiling everything that it's about. The summary is very vague, sort of on purpose.
Of course.
Because it's just a short, I think it's 5 pages, so it's just like a quick sort of look inside the brain of someone who is on the more depressed side mentally. I'm trying to think of like how to describe it. Looking for ways to sort of accept help,
okay.
I think is a big theme of it. Like how to convince yourself that you're worth helping, I think.
Right. Right.
And I think that's a really important message. I think a lot of people, younger people especially, struggle with the like thinking about growing up, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't deserve to grow up. Maybe this is it for me. Maybe I don't need to figure this out because I don't know how long I'm going to be here anyway, right?
Right.
And I think
right.
like the point really is that these kids, for better or for worse, deserve to grow up and figure it out.
Yeah.
They deserve to grow up and mess up. They deserve to grow up and make poor choices and mistakes and learn and grow just like everybody else. Like, and as we sit and watch the political system in the U.S. sort of take rights
yeah.
away from young trans people, especially those kids deserve every chance to live and be a complete mess up that the rest of, you know, of cis society deserves to grow up and experience.
I completely
not
agree,
every
yeah.
not every person in the LGBT community is going to grow up to be an exemplary human being, but not every person grows
exactly.
up to be the best. And you know, people in the queer community deserve the chance to be colossal mess ups, just like cishet people do.
Yeah.
As I firmly believe. Like, please, it's important that these kids know that growing up and making mistakes is something that they are entitled to, and that every mistake shouldn't have to feel like life or death.
Exactly.
And if making this collection helps one person feel like they deserve to grow up and mess up, then I guess that's the point, so.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. Like, you are doing everything you can to get out those voices, get out those stories out there, and I really hope that there's a time where you don't have to work as hard for that, where there's where the stories are out there, where they're just like everybody else's stories.
But if you continue to push the envelope, you're always going to be working hard to put out that right message. So
right.
I don't know that there ever will be a time when things will come easily to me
true.
With the stories
true.
And the voices that I feel like we need to amplify. There's always going to be more work to be done.
Right.
And it's one at a time. And you can't really think about like, maybe there will be a time when I don't have to fight anymore, because I don't know that there ever will be, which is
right.
sort of a sad and kind
that
of
is,
bleak
yeah.
way to look
yeah.
at it. But like
yeah.
you, unfortunately, that's just the reality of it. And the second that we stop fighting and stop supporting people that are younger and trying to get them to be where we are now, the second we stop doing that, that's when we lose, and when
yeah.
we let other people and their negativity and their agenda take over, you know, people's right to be alive. So
right, no, and I totally get that. I'm thinking more of like in a future, maybe a time that we'll never see. I'm hoping that time comes, though. That's what I'm saying.
I hope so. I mean, but right now we're banning books, we're burning
yeah, oh
books.
God, yeah,
we
no,
are
the amount of the fact that North American society just wants to be dumber.
I know, we're here again somehow.
Yeah.
I saw like a meme that was like, if you're not living, like you would get burned at the stake. Like if the Catholic Church wouldn't like excommunicate you, like are you really living at all?
Yeah.
So like try to think about, you know what I mean? Like that motivates me. It motivates me to think that like, as long as I feel like I am living in a way that my younger self would be proud of who I have become,
yeah,
I feel
course.
Like I've done it. That's
definitely,
all I need
no,
to do.
Totally agree with that. And of course, you've got a amazing group of artists and writers on this book here, like Sam Maggs, Heather Antos, Christopher Cantwell. Actually, I want to talk about the Christopher Cantwell story.
Sure.
Christopher Cantwell and Kai Zama working on Flint and Sarah,
yeah.
which that's a true life story from the Civil War.
Yep.
Sarah Emma Edwards entered the Civil War under the guise of Flint Thompson.
Yes.
To basically serve in the war.
I had no idea about this, and I went down like a bit of a Wikipedia rabbit hole after I got Chris's pitch and was like, yes, absolutely, I want this. I want this in the book. Because obviously it's not like a story about like his life, but it is like a story about someone's life that I didn't know about. And like, so maybe I got excited by the story, and I think a lot about like people have been dressing in like drag essentially forever.
Well, like
and
some of the
why are we mad now?
So like, you look back in history, some world famous pirates were women in disguise.
Right, and you think about Shakespeare, right?
Shakespeare
is very celebrated, and Shakespeare was all men.
All the actors were men.
I think like a story like Flint and Sarah is going to stand out in this because it is like it's historical and it's true and it's really cool and kind of inspiring. Like you can sort of that around that same vein of you can be whoever you want to be. If you want to get involved in something, if you want to do something, there is a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little unconventional, but you will find a way to like achieve what you want. And I hope that people will take sort of like a take that kind of motivation from it to like sort of look for a more out of the box way to achieve what you want and to fight for something that you believe in.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, again, as I said, you've been an editor for a while. You've worked on these anthologies. What's good advice for somebody that's thinking about getting into editing?
Ooh. I'm sorry you don't love yourself.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Yeah.
I would say the best advice is to talk to other creators and make a comic. That's how I got started, as I made The Color of Always with Brent Fisher.
Yeah.
That working with them, that was the first collection I put together. It was the first time I wrote a story. But also, I become a better editor the more I write, the more I draw very poorly, the more portfolios I look at, stories that I read. I work professionally in comics now as an editor, as well as doing this freelance stuff.
Yeah.
I work at Bad Egg Publishing, and I'm learning a lot from Robert Myers, my boss at Bad Egg. He's been editing for a while. I learned so much from Heather Antos, who's been super involved in when I was young. She actually did the logo, and she's drawing her first and last. I'm putting "and last" in quote marks. First and last comic interiors. I feel like if you surround yourself with the right people, you will learn so much from them. It's all about having respect for the medium, respect for comics, and to have the understanding that you don't know everything.
Right.
I live every day of my comics career. What am I going to learn today? What am I going to figure out? And
that's a great way to live life, period.
I think so, too. Like, you got to stay sort of curious about stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, always understand that, like, there's opportunity for you to learn new things. And I've learned so much from Heather in the past year. It's almost, I can't believe how different I am as an editor, as a creator in the past year, just, you know, from surrounding myself with people who know more than I do.
Yeah.
I'm always like, Heather, you're the smartest person I've ever met. You know, like flattery, obviously, I got her to do interiors, goes a long way.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I hope for, you know, our sakes, because really love her art, I hope this isn't the last time she does interiors.
I mean, it might be, because editing is truly where she's at. And it's sort of like me. I dabble in writing. I love occasionally to throw a story out into the world.
Right.
It's nice to work with other artists and like help boost the voice of the artists that I find to work with. I have such a great time. But I love editing. That's kind of really where I want to be.
Yeah.
So I write, I could give or take it. But I love editing. I love the behind the scenes of it all and putting it all together and the problem solving. And so I would say anyone who thinks that they want to edit comics, it's not just script editing. It is full project management. I like to think of it as like being a producer of comics.
Yeah, you're bringing the team together.
You have to hold everything together. Like, you are the glue that will hold the book together. An anthology or a zine, even. There are a lot of people that make like smaller zines, like fanzines and stuff. It's all super valid. Like, make the coolest zine you can think of. Never stop doing things in the industry that make you happy is another really good little tip. But make zines, make anthologies, make projects together with your friends. Just do little digital anthologies are even fun. Pick the most random theme you can think of and make a silly little 20-page comic zine with one-pagers in it. Just do something just to make something.
Totally.
And you learn kind of on the fly. I had never edited a comic collection before, put a book together or made a layout or talked to book printers before when Color of Always was happening. And I just kind of was like, well, I have to figure it out. So I guess I'm going to figure it out. And there really just wasn't a choice. So I just gave myself almost an impossible task and figured it out and felt, I guess, good about myself after, because I here I remain.
There
so
you go.
I remain.
That's great. No, that's great. And, you know, also you said that it's project management. And project management is basically people management.
Yes.
And you got a lot of people to manage on this one.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually not as many people as I had to manage on Sharp Wit and the Company of Women, which
true.
Is the last book, because there were over 40 people involved
oh
in that
gosh.
One. And that was a little surprised I kept going. No, I refer to that book as like my middle child. I love it. I think it's so great. It just came out from A Wave Blue World into the direct market like okay. 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So really, that's such a great book. It's all about like sword women. Something for everyone in there.
There you go. There you go. Sword women. Definitely. Oh, my God. Well, Michelle, I want to thank you for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, people can support the campaign at whenIwasYoung.com.
It's whenIwasYoungComic.com.
Sorry, whenIwasYoungComic.com.
Ah, so close.
There you go.
Yeah, we're live on BackerKit until March 31st, Easter Sunday. Did that
go.
On purpose. March 31st, whenIwasYoungComic.com. All profits go to the Trevor Project. And I hope if any of this sounded great to you, you'll hop in. We have a cover that has glitter on it. So another really important fact.
There you go.
Not often used in comics because it is expensive and unnecessary, but it is really pretty. And I got a really great deal from my printer that I'm working with here in the States. So we're printing domestic. They're being really great to me and really helpful. And there's glitter on the cover.
There you go.
It's beautiful. So I hope that you'll check it out.
So pretty stories with glitter.
Yep.
And about heartfelt personal stories. It's great.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, again, Michelle, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to when this anthology comes out.
Thank you. Appreciate
right.
you.
Thank you. So that was my interview with Michelle Abinader about When I Was Young, an LGBTQIA charity comic anthology. Of course, if you want to support the project and get your hands on a copy, you can pre-order the book right now at whenIwasYoungComic.com. There's only a few days left, as she mentioned, of the campaign. So please, it looks like right now that they're going to make their goals. As of right now, they haven't made their goal yet as I'm recording this. But I hope that by the time you hear this, they've already made their goal. But there'll still be time for you to pre-order this comic, When I Was Young, and read some great stories from some great creators and help a very important project and support a very important cause, which people helping people through comics is, that is what it should be, folks. That is what it should be. And I hope that you all feel that way too and support this project at whenIwasYoungComic.com. Come to the end of another episode of Back Issue Bloodbath. Next week, Batul will be back to talk with me about more comics and more fun. But for now, you, of course, can check out everything I do over at geekhardshow.com. Follow me on Twitter at geekhard. Follow me on Instagram at Andrew_of_geek_hard. Follow this very show on Facebook at Back Issue Bloodbath, where we post the new episode every week. But the easiest way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. And after you do that, go out and get yourself a treat, because you deserve it. Treat yourself. And of course, support comics and support people. This has been Back Issue Bloodbath. I've been Andrew Young. Have yourself a good day.